Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. The stories we often tell focus on the great feats and exceptional moments of history. Our next guest is author of the book Everyday Life, How the Ordinary Became Extraordinary. It's a book that examines and celebrates the details of daily life, searching for insight on the human condition. Author Joe Amato joins us now on the phone. Joe, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
No, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Now, I didn't go back and check. How many books have you written now, sir?
Oh, I don't know, somewhere around 20, 25, but I've done so many that are connected and helped publish them. It's just become my fate, my glory, and my burden, all three, I think. Maybe I could have for fun.
So why this one? Why focus on the everyday life and the history of sort of the ordinary?
Well, you know, I was interested, and still am, in what you'd call high cultures, histories of big ideas. I've also been interested in local and regional histories, and I've more than once written memoirs on subjects using golf as a beginning point or heart bypass surgery. But in the last, oh, say, 15 years, I've worked on the history of smallness, how dust became infinite in a way, where once it was the final border. I've written on surfaces, how we live and make different surfaces than in the time past. And I've written a nice book, I think, on the history of walking and how that has radically changed over time, and particularly in the last 200 or so years. And so how our everyday life is put together and how particularly it's in change, in conflict, and new elements are joining other elements. Well, that caught my fancy, and sometimes when something catches my fancy, I can't let it go. And then that produces some outlines and a lot of scribbled paper and pretty soon a book.
How much are we sort of defined by our everyday life, would you say?
Well, will you repeat your question again? I didn't quite hear it all, I don't think.
How much everyday life has changed so drastically? How much are we as people sort of defined by those everyday routines that we that we enact?
Sure. Well, I mean, in great part, both our physical activity, whether we're sitting or trying to drive up close to a door in a parking lot or taking a walk, your previous people that I caught a little bit as I was waiting are talking about how we die, what our relation to death is, when we enter a senior facility. All of these things have a modern form to them. And in fact, it's in the modern world we begin to specialize all sorts of things. We invent things to change body motions, to rest us. Our workplaces are altered. Our private lives are altered. We get, if we're among the lucky many now, we get a bedroom of our own, to use that old phrase from literature, a bedroom of our own. We get to dwell on our own dreams. We get to take our own careers seriously. We often choose our own education. You might say choose your poison. And life has become far more a matter of choice. And with that, it's also far more a matter of conflict. But we are sort of our everyday details. It's what runs through my mind, where I walk, where I might go for a coffee for relaxation, who do I normally see, what moods do I manifest as I go through the day. It's self is in many ways terribly ordinary. It's common. It's what we're familiar with. It's what we're in the habit. That line, if I could add one, I've grown accustomed to your smile, I've grown da-da-da. It's a great line for what everyday life is, like what you've grown accustomed to.
Accustomed to, sure. So in the book, it must have been difficult to decide what you were sort of going to focus on. I see everything on how our everyday stories and folklore have changed with the advent of radio and television to basically how we wear shoes and shoes that fit and shoes that have altered. How did you select which sort of ordinary things that you would look into the history of?
Well, As I said, I was interested in how we perceive things. I'm interested in how our feelings and sensibilities change. But what I was, in having to choose kind of a point zero, I like the notion that people, and there's 10 to 12,000 years of this point of view, that we lived in rather fixed villages. We didn't have any or not all that much contact with the outside world. There was only 2 dozen, maybe 5 dozen people we lived from birth to death with. There, of course, was change, and people came up to your village, and God knows armies came, and they took you away and made you serve in armies. But broadly, I took the point in history, one major point, when the outside world begins to overwhelm or transform the inside world. And then I'd look at the various sectors where this change takes place. One is market. Is it made away from your home? Is it sold by people from far off? Or when you make something, do you sell it far off or have to travel 30 miles to a market? Market was one. Political control is another. And then you get to democracy. Do I feel like I belong to it or don't I? Is it, am I incorporated not just in vote, but am I incorporated in feelings in this unit? And so I was interested in that. Then I got interested in the speed. You mentioned radio and television. I got very interested in the speed of transportation and communication and the multitude of forms that comes at us, through, comes to us or allows us to go to it, which then shapes not just our informational basis in the world, but our imaginative basis in the world. We can, even if we don't travel a lot today, we certainly can imagine ourselves almost at all points on the globe.
What are some of the monumental changes and shifts that you see happening right now? Are you able, through looking so deeply into history, to sort of glance at the present and say, this ordinary shift in how we live our lives is going to make a big difference in the future?
Know, the subtitle is How the Ordinary Became Extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And one of the great tests is, I think it's a profound test, is how much individuals are becoming responsible for not just choice, but self-definition. They feel there's tremendous factors and forces that declare you responsible to give yourself meaning. I find that a tremendous burden. I mean, that the person kneeling next to me may be praying entirely differently than I am, or may not be kneeling at all, might be standing up and looking down at me as in a rather insolent, like, you stupid fool, get off your knees. You know, what I'm driving at is the proximity of difference, radical difference. So you've got choices, you're defining yourself. There's the proximity of radical difference. And that could depend on everything from your reading habits to whom, to who you marry. There's just worlds of difference. And one of the big differences is how the public and the private, or the family life and the public life, aren't separate. That be even in terms of the recent past. The encounter between the, call it the intimate or the innermost world, and the public world has become greatly interpenetrating. And sometimes your best friends are the people God help us, what we work with. And the place we work with is all about, maybe say we're in the business of selling romance, or everything is, a person has a fairly big jumble to sort out. I guess that would be it, a big jumble to sort out. In the old days, you had jumbles, but not all these different voices and different choices.
Yeah. Do you attach value to that at all, Joe? Do you see that as a positive or a negative, or are you just trying to see it for what it is with no expectation?
Well, you know, Lori, like in most things, I want to say it's both. There's good sides to this freedom. There's good sides to choice. There's wonderful sides to opportunity. At the same time, the test often for human beings is having some kind of meaning, not just a meaning like everyday, my everyday life has an order, but maybe a person wants order between the living and the dead. They want an order between their soul or their spirit and the ultimate force in the universe, or they want some kind of coherence, and they would choose a much tighter and more narrow world with that assurance rather than the big and changing world. And there you get one of those other paradoxes. Sometimes the bigger and the more the world changes, the more people rely on public ideologies and rather tight religions, tight, rather narrow. And I think in part that's so they can meet a world in which they feel they're coming in pieces, or the world is going to pieces.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Joe Amato. You're listening to Dakota Midday. His latest book is called Everyday Life, How the Ordinary Became Extraordinary. And you said something earlier in our conversation, Joe, about taking a walk and how much that has changed over the years. You wrote a whole book about it. I think it's a good example of how something that, how has walking changed? Give me a quick overview of that.
We didn't have even surfaces. We walked because we had to. We walked because that was particularly the human way of going, on two legs down, two arms out, and two eyes looking at the horizon and nose relatively off the ground, so we could look at the small and that. But it went with our activity, our survival. It went with... We didn't have chairs, literally didn't have chairs. Most of us learned to stay standing, learned how to put our back against the tree, learned how to sit on our knees, so to speak. But then once you start to get level and smooth surfaces or even wood floors, then you can make nice smooth motions. And walking could become both a manner and an art. And if you get a little further and you build some paths through nature and you have a few inns along the way and you have a little book of blank paper and a pencil with you, you can turn walking into an art. And it's actually a subform of wandering is pondering, kind of. And in that way, walking becomes a leisure, or for some people it becomes a, a kind of an adventure. I walked all the way across England. I walked from India to India, England. That was quite an adventure. But walking becomes cultivated and refined.
Joe Amato, the book is called Everyday Life, How the Ordinary Became Extraordinary. I want to say thank you so much for your time today. You've given us a lot to think about, as always.
Well, good. I hope everyone takes a walk and thinks about everyday life. That might help them out, and it might confuse them a little, too.
Sounds like a good place to start. Thanks, Joe.